right, I think if I push the magic buttons right, I think Nancy Cardwell. Can you hear me, Nancy?
I can.
Well, good.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you now that I put my headphones on my head. That's what these things are for. Sometimes I forget. I'm gonna turn you up just a bit so that we can make everything balance right. And Nancy Cardwell from IBMA. Here I am sitting all by my lonesome, Nancy. I just was complaining over the air that it's just me and my production assistant, Molly, who is asleep in the corner right now. on Worldwide Bluegrass, we have a chat room that we open up and people get in there and talk about stuff. And it's kind of cool. I can't get in it. I can't get in that. And there's nobody in the house but me and my dog. And I was feeling kind of lonely, and out of the blue, to rescue me is Nancy Cardwell of IBMA. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, it's Labor Day weekend. Maybe everybody's out at the lake.
Well, that could be. Yeah, that could be. Well, we want...
Sitting here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice sunny day here. So, and of course, they do fireworks here on Sunday night, and everybody gets all fired up on the river, on the Ohio River. Well, I'm so glad that you called in. It's a wonderful timing. And we want to talk about, of course, I want to talk about you if you want, but I want to talk about IBMA and your involvement in it. And you got big doings coming up in Raleigh in a short time. So why don't we kind of talk about where we are? It should be a very exciting first time in Raleigh. I got a feeling that it's going to be no holds barred.
We are very excited about it, and I hope everybody listening will go online and make their travel plans and plan to join us. Our website is worldofbluegrass.org. There's also a lot of great information at wideopenbluegrass.com. Southwest keeps running sales, so that's a good way to get there if you don't live close by. But the events will be 5 days this year in Raleigh, North Carolina, and the World of Bluegrass Week will include a 3-day IBMA business conference Tuesday through Thursday, the 24th through the 26th. And also during the whole week, we have something called the Bluegrass Ramble, which is a series of mostly evening showcases on 7 different stages all week long until 2 in the morning every night. And we've also, of course, got the 24th Annual International Bluegrass Music Award Show planned with the Steep Canyon Rangers hosting, and quite a few folks announced already who will be performing.
You have a guy
and
named,
then on the weekend, you have, I'm a guy sorry,
named, you have a guy named Steve Martin's going to be down there, too.
He's going to be in town. In fact, I was just going to mention that. Our weekend festival, which has always been called Bluegrass Fan Fest, has a new name this year. It's called IBMA's Wide Open Bluegrass Festival, or just Wide Open Bluegrass. And Steve Martin and Edie Bertel with the Steve Martin Steve Kenya Rangers will be playing, headlining one of the nights, and also the Punch Brothers, and a really special collaboration featuring a lot of the folks who won the very first IBMA Awards in 1990, and we'll see if I can remember them all without my notes. Bela Fleck, Tony Rice, Del Maturi, Sam Bush, Jerry Douglas, who am I missing? I know Mark Schatz is going to play bass. Of course, Roy Husky Jr. won the bass award the first 3 years. He's passed away, but Mark won it in 94, so he's next in line there. And we're just so excited about it. And Allison Krauss, how can I forget Allison?
Oh.
Will be in that group too. And to my knowledge, you know, those folks have never performed together at the same time on one stage as one band. And so it's just an epic collaboration. And I predict it will be the most photographed set in bluegrass music for the years, you know.
Well, you certainly have some very talented people just on that lineup that you mentioned. That's just amazing. Am I right? When I look through the, you know, I get the pamphlets for IBMA and I got a feeling that, you know, of course, people out there should know that, you know, IBMA is a, Well, I want you to talk about that in a minute, but the process of the bidding as to where this convention is going to take place, it was in Owensboro, it was in Louisville, it was in Nashville, and Raleigh has now secured this right to host it. How many years are they going to host it by the contract?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, we normally sign a contract for 3 years at a time, so we'll be there 2013, 14, and 15 for sure.
And I just have this feeling, there's just kind of this buzz when I read about it, that they want to make sure that everybody knows in Raleigh how much they appreciate the fact that it's coming there. I just have a feeling that, not that Nashville didn't do a wonderful job, and Louisville did it. I'm just thinking, this first year for Raleigh is going to just be a phenomenal event. I just got a feeling.
Yes, you know, I've been coming to World of Bluegrass Week myself since 1992. When was the first year you came? Do you remember?
The first year I came, no, it had just moved to Louisville, so you have to back up the years for that.
In the 90s, yeah, mm-hmm. In the mid-90s. But anyway, I've enjoyed things about every location, every city, you know, and the events have grown, and we've needed to move to larger facilities. There are a lot of wonderful things about having it in Nashville, you know, including the Ryman Auditorium and all the music business that is based here, and a lot of our artists live here, so it was, you know, very convenient for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
But Raleigh, I have to say, they just really rolled out the red carpet. The city is involved, the Arts and Humanities Council, there's a committee of about 40 local IBMA members and city leaders, you know, different types, who get together once a month just to think of ways that can help make the events a success. And there'll be 14 bands playing in schools during that week, elementary and junior high schools. Famous Life is doing a show with the Symphony Orchestra in Raleigh.
Oh, man.
They're planning a big free to the public street festival that will happen on the street, which will be closed off to traffic, you know, right between the convention center where one of our stages is on the weekend and the Red Hat Amphitheater where the outdoor stage is in the afternoon through the evening. So, and then also they're having this, let me see if I can get the name right, the State Whole Hog Barbecue Championship for North Carolina in Raleigh. And that normally draws 20,000 people alone just to that event. And cities in the state compete, you know, for the honor of hosting it. So it will smell really good on Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And then be sure and get yourself a sandwich at noon.
So this is good.
Saturday.
So this big barbecue thing will coincide with this whole IBMA week. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. It'll be right outside, you know, by the venue where we're having the award show, the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts.
Wow.
So there'll be banners in the streets, you know, there'll be signs in the airport, some bands playing, and just the whole community is involved. You know, the Bluegrass Ramble is really going to take the music and take bands out into the community, and people can attend that who are registered for the business conference, or just local folks who are, you know, working until 5 o'clock or going to school can get a showcase pass and just come out at night and hear bands. You know, every night until 2 a.m, or you can just come to the door and, you know, for $10, just come into any venue and check out the bands.
So this will be spread out throughout the city rather than just be located like in the convention center. There'll be different venues like.
Right. But they're all pretty close, Steve. I mean, I've walked around all of them 2 or 3 times now, and they're all within, you know, 3 blocks at the most.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like the Olympic Village.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, a smaller version of South by Southwest or something like that. But really, you know, banners in the streets, you know, open your door, you'll hear banjo music, you know, babies will be tossed in the air, the mayor's involved, you know, just the whole city is going nuts. And, you know, it's a smaller, we're kind of a larger fish in a medium-sized pond there. The way we're in Nashville, just there's a lot of things going on in Nashville, a lot of events and organizations. And you know, it was a great event here, but I think one thing, people are really looking forward to being outside. There's just something about listening to bluegrass music outside at a nice stage. And so to be able to move our main stage outside from the afternoon to 11 o'clock at night, and then, you know, if you haven't had enough bluegrass by then, you can go hit one of the ramble stages until 2 a.m. So
I
think it'd be interesting just to sit down and calculate how many bands, how many sets, how many songs, how many notes per square inch, you know, are going to be played that week, not even taking account the jamming and
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Everywhere, too.
Oh,
and there's a really nice kind of downtown patio area, you know, central area with some sculptures and things like that. Just, you know, I'm a bass player, and so I can look at a place and think, oh, that would be a great place for a jam session.
Well, I was going to mention.
There's lots of that there. Yeah.
I was going to mention, you're a musician. You play bass. You've played in different bands. Mm-hmm. And then, so you bring that, and you've been then involved in IBMA for how many years now, Nancy?
I came on board in 94 as a special projects director.
September
94.
And so you've watched it bloom then from, I guess, from the Owensboro days until now.
Right.
So, and I would think that this is kind of an interesting thing. I think that, you know, for just purely selfish reasons, Louisville was great for me as an hour from my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nashville was still fine because I could, depending on how many police cars were out, I could make it in 4 hours, you know, if I was feeling gutsy. But it's kind of a neat thing that it circulates around the different cities, because bluegrass is so popular in so many different parts of, I don't say just the South, but you know, the entire region is just has so many people that are interested in it, and mm-hmm. and they present different packages to IBMA. Tell me a little bit about the bidding process and why that developed as a way to kind of move the whole festival around.
Right. Well, first of all, I think you're right. You know, we will lose some folks who live near Nashville. We lost a few in Louisville just because of the ability to travel, you know, the distance and work schedules and things like that. But hopefully we'll gain some folks who've never ever had the opportunity to come before. And we, you know, we're a trade association for the bluegrass music industry. And so we exist to serve the people who are involved in bluegrass music and the business of bluegrass music. And we also have fans who are, you know, just diehard fans who want to be supportive too and help the music grow and get it out to larger audiences and also just help the folks who are working, you know, full time, part time, even as volunteers, you know, just to be able to make a better living and be more successful in what they're doing to celebrate and promote the music. But the bidding process you asked about, usually starts 2 to 3 years before a decision is made, and there's a site selection committee of, you know, combination board members, IBMA members, usually one staff person. Jill Crabtree was a person on the staff who worked with them. Dan Hayes has been involved in the past, and they, you know, just, constantly during the year, we get calls from different cities, you know, interested in hosting the events, and so they get in touch with those folks, and they go around and do a few visits. It's funny, I got a call from somebody in Panama, Central America, yesterday.
Do they want to bid?
they wanted to know if we had any international meetings planned. I've been to Panama before. Actually, I played a tour of military bases in Honduras and Panama with the Wobblegirls in the early 90s. Beautiful place. Love to go back there. But probably would not be the most convenient place to have.
I don't think so.
But anyway, so they collect the bids and they, you know, think about everything we need, really. The number of hotel rooms, a venue for the award show, a convention center that has, you know, a large meeting room for a stage, an exhibit area, you know, just kind of the combination of things we need. And that narrows it down quite a bit. And then, of course, good transportation, you know, a main interstate highway, an international airport, helps a lot. And then just take it from there, you know, narrow it down. And they make a recommendation to the board. The board discusses it, you know, at length and votes on it. So that's how it works.
Well, I guess in Raleigh, too, like, of course, the East Coast is so, there's so many strong pockets of bluegrass with, gosh, Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. and the history there. So in Raleigh, you're sort of like, now you're within that tempting day drive of all the people on the East Coast that maybe couldn't quite make it over the mountains into Nashville or Louisville. You're kind of like right there mm-hmm. begging them to show up because it's more convenient.
Right. The states are a little smaller on the East Coast and closer together. And it, you know, it always surprised me a little bit when I first started going to Joe Val for that festival in Boston that, you know, people from New York could come easily in Connecticut. And so, you know, I grew up in Missouri where, you know, it's a pretty big state. It takes hours to get out of your state, but not necessarily on the East Coast. But anyway, we're also right on the Amtrak line, so train transportation is another possibility in addition to flying or just getting in the car and driving over.
What do you think? Do you have a handle yet on sales? I'm not trying to nail you down, but where do you think it looks right now?
Well, the amphitheater has 6,000 seats, and we're sold out of reserved seats, but we still have plenty of general admission seats. I believe we'll sell that out. I think we will sell out or come very close to selling out the award show venue, which I think seats 2,300, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And the, you know, we're still hoping some more folks will register for the business conference. We'd like to, you know, that there isn't a capacity there. So, but the more folks that are there, the more valuable it is to everybody just for networking and professional development and showcasing. And, you know, really it's just, it's the place to go, you know, if you're involved in bluegrass music, if you want to discover great new music, or if you have new music and you want to be discovered, you know, and then everybody who works around, you know, and the support services around the music, you know, the DJs, the event producers, the guitar builders, you know, everybody else who's involved in some area.
It's Disney World. It's Disney World for bluegrass people.
How many bands have started, you know, because they met each other and jammed at World of Bluegrass, you know.
Yeah.
There are really a number of success stories. Yeah.
I have to tell you the second.
I was in part, Go ahead.
No, the second year that I went, of course, uh-huh. the first year you have the reaction I'm going to explain to you, and I saw it in another fellow's eyes. The second year that I went, I took a young guy who had never been, and you try to explain it to someone. You try to say, look, you're not going to believe, you know, all these people that we listen to and want to hear, you're not going to believe the accessibility and the fact that they're there, and then all the instruments. We walk through, we get our armband, and even though you tell them this, we walk through them with them 30 feet of getting past where they check your wrist. Ricky Skaggs walked by. Now imagine the first time being at the IBMA convention in the World of Bluegrass, and imagine the first time you walk through, Ricky Skaggs walks by just like somebody, you know, eating a hot dog, just like a regular
nobody
guy.
Nobody bothers him. No. He enjoys chemistry.
and I don't think the guy spoke the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I think he was speechless.
The first year I went, I walked up to one of the Bluegrass Unlimited lounges. You know, they have these little, meeting rooms at night where people could take or just hang out and talk about the future of the bluegrass world. You know, lots of important discussions held there over a beverage. But anyway, I walked up, and there, leaning against the wall, was Peter Rowan and Hazel Dickens, just jamming.
Yeah.
And I just thought, my Lord, I'm not in Kansas anymore. You know, I mean, and I had the same reaction, you know, and we're a small enough industry, and we have such respect for our artists that we don't, you know, we respect them, and I've seen Vince Gill and Marty Stewart walk around the exhibit hall. Nobody bothers them, you know, I mean, people are happy to see him, but they feel safe, and you know, we just have respect for our artists, and they respect and appreciate their fans, you know, because many of our artists have careers that last for decades. You know, it's just a special community. You're right. It's kind of, it's a family reunion, and it's also, you know, very much a music industry business gathering. You know,
it's a phenomenal event. It really is. Of course,
and if you like bluegrass music, you know, you'll just think you're in heaven, and then, in that regularly people are depressed the week after, you know, you kind of hear banjos in your head for a week afterwards, and you just sort of regret having to go back to the real world.
It is. The first time you walk in, as I tell people, it's like Disneyland. I mean, because you just can't, the vendor side alone is just, if you play any kind of instrument, and most people want to or do or would like to learn, and it's just the vendors part alone where you see all these great instruments and all these, not just the names, because there's so many, but the guy who's just started making them a few years ago and makes a high quality instrument, it doesn't have to give a name to it, but you think, wow, these are people, these are great luthiers, these are people dedicated, and you meet them all and you talk to them, and maybe a few years later you wind up with one of those instruments or get inspired.
And have your hero, you know. I've had to kick John Hartford out of the exhibit hall several times. I mean, the man just had no quitting sense when it came to jamming. You know, it's so famous people sitting around just jamming and trying out these instruments too. And so I truly believe that it's the golden age of instrument building in bluegrass music right now. There's such good instruments out there.
Well, you make a good point. Now, I play banjo, so I pay attention to that more than anything else. But, you know, when I started, it was Gibson. Mm-hmm. And there were some made in across the water, there weren't some pretty good ones built. Mm-hmm. And then Stelling, and then they kind of, but now there's so many people who make great banjos and all instruments as well, that it is the golden age of luthier. You're right. That's a great point. That's a great point. If you just want to go see instruments, this is the place to see them all in one building.
It is.
It just blows your mind.
I am prepared, you know, and it's, and here's them played. You know, but like the poem about, you know, how the violin sounds different in the hands of a master. You know, if you walk by in your bailiff's white, play a banjo for a while, you can really find out what it's going to sound like.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it's Mark Johnson, you know, with his closet.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's a lot of fun, you know, and I'm a fan as well. You know, I grew up in a family band, have been playing music since I was 7 years old, but I also am a huge fan of the music myself. You know, so it's fun for me to see this piece too.
And when you walk past these booths that they have, they'll say, here, play this. And it might have just been played by Bela Fleck walking by. And they'll say, oh, here, you want to try it? Try this. And you're thinking, I shouldn't even touch this thing. But, you know, no one's afraid you're going to drop it. They know that you value instruments and just the openness and the willingness. People, I think the vendors and the artists too know if you're paying to come in there, you're a real fan. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be obtrusive. You're not going to, like when you saw Hazel Dickens and Peter Rowan, you didn't run up and bust up what they were doing because it was personal to them.
No, I just stood there and quietly listened.
Yeah.
consider myself lucky.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? Yeah. They were probably happy that you were watching and listening because they probably enjoyed that too. It's impossible to describe it, and that's why people need to go.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a first time. You need to have a first time. You know, because once you have a first time, then you can realize how many times you have to go back. But once you walk in, it's the most phenomenal. Like I said, I describe it in the face of the young man that I took the second time.
Mm-hmm.
We try to explain it. You walk through the gate. Ricky Skaggs walked by within 10 feet, and I don't think he said a word for 3 hours. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it happened. It's like, just walking through. But it's a great event. So what are the dates again?
Here again, and the wife, of course.
And
it's, you know, one interesting aspect about our event is the international aspect. And we have a large, you know, couple dozen folks from Japan who come every year. People from all over the country. And there'll be three nights of international bands showcasing during the week. So that is a cool thing. And also the fact that our Wide Open Bluegrass Festival on Friday and Saturday, the dates again are September 27, 28. Half of the proceeds from that go to support the Bluegrass Trust Fund, which is a charity fund that helps people in the bluegrass world. You don't have to be a member of IVMA, who fall on hard times. You know, they have some sort of emergency need, whether it's health-related or natural disaster or whatever. You know, we've helped a number of people, but it's kept very confidential, you know, who we help and how much they've been helped. But it has been a very useful thing, and it's very important. It's one of the reasons that IVMA was formed, was to create the trust fund. So Sonny Osborne of the Osborne Brothers really championed that idea and made sure that happened. And so that's one unique thing about our event, about our festival.
Well, that's just one unique thing. There's so many unique things,
and I
know you're probably, even though it's coming up and things are in paper and written down, you're probably still working furiously to make sure things come off correctly.
We are, it's a very complicated, detailed event. You know, 5 days, lots of things going on, 3 or 4 separate events combined in 1 week, and we have a lot of folks working on different parts of it, so just, you know, keeping track of it all and coordinating all the committees, and it's a challenge, but it's, you know, it's so worth it. It's such an important thing to do, and hopefully it benefits the community and the industry both. That's our goal, you know.
And with all the people working, and when you go to one of these events, and I'm just talking from my personal, when you go to this whole week-long thing, everybody's working. There's volunteers are working. And I will tell you this, folks, everybody's smiling. You know what I mean? Even if they're just taking tickets as you come through, everybody has the biggest grin on their face.
Bluegrass, And it's, you know, there's a joke that IBMA stands for I've Been Mostly Awake. I don't know if you've heard that before, but
yes.
We do work very long hours. And we have, you know, 200 to 300 volunteers that are helping us. There are 4 full-time staff, and we have some folks that come aboard to help us just during that week, and a couple more. Sonia Cotton from Louisville, you may know her, helps us manage volunteers, and Joe Biddle in Owensboro, Kentucky, who has helped us with every single event since the very first one in the mid-'80s in Owensboro, comes and helps us with the logistics and bus parking and hanging banners and just things like that, just because he's been around. It's, you know, it is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
It's indescribable. Indescribable. Well, this is great. And just so everybody knows, I was, for my first time, I went up to Gray Fox this year, and I knew Nancy was on the premises, and I was up by the side of the stage broadcasting this program, and then I did a Thursday and Friday live feed and kind of did it. And every time I was up, and if you've ever been there, the new location, every time I was up, Nancy was down in a tent. And every time I was down, Nancy, I could never find you. I was looking for you through Gray Fox, through the 98 degrees, hottest week,
oh,
I think, in the hit. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
We had a little booth this year for IBMA, and also we had a couple of workshops about, you know, upcoming World of Bluegrass and just what IBMA is and membership and that sort of thing. And then also I was asked to be one of the co-host MCs for Saturday night, the closing night with Stan Zadonik, which was really fun. Got to bring the Carolina Chocolate Drops on stage. Lester.
I snuck up on the other side of the stage behind the white, because I was right next to it. And on that one, I went up and just stood there for a while. So great show. Well, I'm glad we finally got to talk. I'm so glad you took time out of your busy Labor Day weekend and We finally got a chance to chat about IBMA and all the great things, and it's a wonderful event. And you can tell from Nancy's voice and dedication over the years that it's something that's rather addictive. I'm sure you started out being interested in it, and now you're part of the organization, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow and get more refined.
Yeah, I've been playing since I was a little kid. My dad had a country band in the 60s in the Ozarks in Missouri, and we had a family band in the 70s and played, a little bluegrass and country out in college. And I was a school teacher and worked professionally for the Girl Scouts for a while, and also worked full-time as a musician in both Branson, Missouri, and Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, with different bands that I started writing for magazines, actually. The first story I sold was to Bluegrass Unlimited when I was a junior in college, and I think it was published around 80 or 81, and I've continued to freelance for them a little bit ever since. And so, there are not many bluegrass jobs out there. You and I are the lucky ones. A bluegrass day job is a pretty amazing thing, and I'm very grateful. It's a very labor-intensive job, and I spend a lot of hours, but it's, I think, no matter how much any of us have in the bank, the thing that's most valuable to us all is our time. And so where do you spend your time? Where do you choose to spend your time on Earth? It's very important, and to me, I don't mind spending this much time for something I care about for people, to help make a difference in this music and the people that are trying to play it and make a living at it. And it's kind of a combination of, I have a degree in education, and so I was involved with helping to create the Bluegrass in the Schools program with IBMA.
Sure.
And so it's a combination of things that I've done in the past with working with children and education and playing music and writing about the music. I think it's kind of funny sometimes. I think about the kind of play that children have, when they're young, reflects what they essentially do for a living. I don't know if you pretended you were a DJ when you were young or something like that. I know Missy Raines, my friend Missy Raines, who plays bass so well. When she was a kid, she would play bluegrass festivals in her basement. She had a little chalkboard and she would write out the set, building around the bluegrass boys and sell them things.
I love Missy. She's been on this show, and of course I just love her to death.
In her imagination, she put this whole festival on, she's just a little kid in her basement. But what I did, this is really funny, when I was 11 years old, I created an association for the girls in my neighborhood called the Saturn Club. And we had meetings, we had a schedule, we had badges that we earned, we had, activities, we had a flag, we had a pledge, we had a song. So I created an organization when I was 11. So it just makes me laugh that, now I get to be the leader of an organization. That it's just something I enjoy doing, is organizing things and working with people.
And how appropriate, folks. When Nancy called in, musician from Missouri, what did I tell you was playing on the air?
The Dillards. I love the Dillards. Yeah.
I play a lot of Dillards. I play a lot of Rhonda Vincent, so I'm in touch with Missouri.
Good. Oh, she's wonderful. I've been listening to Rhonda and the Falling Mountain Show, her family, since the 70s.
Oh, yeah. I usually have her on. I always tell her about 2 months, and then I start going through withdrawal. And it turns out, as I look back over my calendar, every 2 months or so I have Rhonda on, just because it's so much fun, and she's just so accessible. When you talk about accessible, there's someone that is always at the top of her game, but you go to one of Rhonda's shows and there's 500 people that want to talk to her, the 500th person,
she'll talk to them all.
Everybody.
And I've always admired her playing. She's a great mandolin player. She's a good fiddle player, too.
She is.
And solid guitar player. When she sings those country ballads, she's, does a really good job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, good
and
for
her little brother is not doing so badly
he,
either.
He
now.
Can do okay. He does okay.
Talented family. Yeah. Family.
Well, good on Missouri. That's what I say. And Nancy's part of it.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great family bands there, actually. And a lot of great fiddlers.
Well, listen, get back to your weekend. Yes, I was so happy to have you call in. I was out. When you called, I was out filling up my coffee cup. True story. I kind of sit here and I thought,
coffee is very important.
Oh, yes. that makes me keep going. And I thought, well, I'll just run out. And then I had your call and called you back right away. I'm so happy you called in.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
All right. Well, anytime you want to catch up on IBMA news, you've got my number, and just give me a call if something happens that you want to chat about. I'm happy to do it.
I will. And if I could just say our number again, we've got a toll-free number.
Yes, please.
Get IBMA. So that's 888-438-4262. And our website is IBMA.org. or you can go right to worldofbluegrass.org. And our friends in Raleigh this year have created a really cool website just for the festival, mostly on, you know, wideopenbluegrass.com. So that's an easy one to find too. But we still have, we'll be selling tickets through, let me look at my calendar on the wall here. At the office, we'll be selling tickets through the 12th, September 12th. After that, you know, we'll sell tickets and registrations on site. Convention.
Okay.
And, the festival tickets, you can just continue to keep purchasing it until we run out, but we're doing that through eTix. So it's eTix.com, eTix.com.
Okay.
So,
well, they've hit.
Over. Okay.
Nancy gave everyone just on the show. Nancy just gave everyone. That's a brief glimpse of IBMA because you can't do it all in a phone interview. But check them out and see what they're involved in. And Nancy's an integral part of it. And I know there's a lot of excitement over this year's get together in Raleigh. And it sounds like it's going to be an absolute. I just think it's going to be. They're so excited. You can just tell. You can just feel the buzz. Mm-hmm. They're so excited about it. Yeah. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. Well, I'll let you get back to your weekend, ma'am. Thanks so much. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And Nancy Cardwell, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Bye.
Yeah, that was fun. Got to talk to Nancy. I literally was out filling up my coffee cup, and I came back, and I had a missed call from Nancy Cardwell. And just so happens, I needed to talk to her and wanted to talk to her about IBMA, and now you all got the benefit of it listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass, and you just never know what's going to happen. You just never know.